What are some of the responses that you've received since you first presented it, and specifically some of the criticisms about this? I mean, one thing, a lot of people talk about, well, was it weight loss or, you know, fat? But I mean, if either one works, that's cool from my point of view.
It is interesting. I mean, I've had people call the weight loss versus fat question as confounders. And I'd say, well, you know, we don't seem to have too much trouble with changing our mechanism of bevacizumab, right? And don't call it a confounder. And so we're not going to use it. So I just look at the empirical results. So I agree with that part of it. After the San Antonio presentation and the publication where people saw that it was peer reviewed in, you know, substantial journal, I think that JNCI is as good as it gets for, you know, clinical oncology. So you had this peer review, you had this update, which looked like it was headed in the same direction. And the signal that it might be very interesting in receptor negative patients, people are looking at it a little more seriously than before. And it's interesting because it certainly had a high profile in the media before, but I think the breast cancer community didn't fully embrace it as something they really had to talk about. And what would happen for an ASCO update, there would be kind of one slide and it'd be called epidemiology or something, or there would be nothing, you know. And I think this year, based on the number of people who were asking for the slide set, and I, you know, as I see these reviews where it's being incorporated, and I think it's being put out there as something that people should more actively engage. And then the reimbursement issue is there as well, because I think to fully do the intervention will be about $1,000 worth of dietary intervention time, nutritionist. And then that's probably would be out of pocket for most patients. Medicare pays for diabetes and renal, but not for cardiology, for instance.
Oh, other situations like this, you know, we present it to the patient and say, well, yep, you know, it's up to you if you can come up with the money to go to with a dietitian, or you try to do it on your own, but here's what we know about this.
Yeah, it's a little scary. I know it's that subgroup, that's in that 362 patient subgroup, but when we look at 11%, you know, improvement in mortality, the number needed to treat then turns out to be 10, 11, something like that. And so that means that if for every 10 women who would adopt this diet in that subgroup, if that's correct, I mean, one wouldn't die. I mean, it's just, that's an amazing number if that's right.
Well, also, if it is focused down on the ERPR negative, and most of them are going to be triple negatives, and there's not a whole lot of options other than chemo in the adjuvant period in any setting, so at least it's something else for somebody to try.
No, that's right. And they would have money for copays that they wouldn't have to pay for other interventions.
Right. What about from the scientific community? Any criticisms that have come up about how the study was done, or is this a real finding?
On both studies, the WHI and the WINS, I think the scientific designs were felt to be appropriate. The question is, do we select the right diet? You know, you got 20 years later and you're trying to figure out, did you have the right kind of diet? But actually, in our view, I'm speaking for myself and probably some of the WHI investigators, I think the evidence still is pretty good that it's total dietary fat for breast cancer. And some of the other competing hypotheses would be things like the Mediterranean diet, for instance.
But when you say total dietary fat for breast cancer, you mean in the primary prevention or prevention of relapse, or both?
We're looking at both. I think, as we talked about before, I think they're kind of mixed.
Right.
You know, because in the WHI study, you'd never get an effect in 8 years if it was just for primary prevention. So you really end up having to, I think that issue probably wasn't fully realized as people were doing all these studies, that you have to be able to impact preclinical disease to be able to get enough intervention effect to get to the incidence question.